We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics.
Number one here on Cody and Gold. So the Red Sox, you're telling me now, Bink, as well. Add them to the list of, what, four teams today that have some serious issues with testing and potential positive tests. Some don't even know if they can get the results back. The Astros have canceled workouts because they still are waiting for their results from Friday's COVID-19 testing. The Oakland A's also having some issues with getting test results across baseball.
They haven't even practiced. They're 5 days behind everybody.
Everybody else had workouts starting, you know, the Royals had theirs on Fridays. The Royals testing, they've been able to get results. We know that Salvi tested positive for COVID-19. He's not with the team. But that, for starters, you gotta be able to get results. It's one thing, how do you handle the positive test? It's a big problem when you don't know who is, because you can't even get results from the weekend. I understand it was a holiday weekend. Every team is handling it on their own. But when it's for something like this, that doesn't work, man. Like, you can put protocols in place on paper if you're baseball, but you needed to find a way to work with your teams and make sure this wasn't a problem. The games haven't even started yet, and you can't get accurate results or any results whatsoever for a lot of your teams in baseball.
And you can't risk one of your players, like the Red Sox, going out there if you don't know, and all of a sudden they infect more players, because eventually this starts to matter when it's star players. We've always seen some star players opt out, or Freddie Freeman, you know, not going to play, or Sal Perez having it. What's going to happen when they get close to the postseason and it wipes off three of your first five starters, which we all know in Major League Baseball in the postseason, that's really the only thing that matters is pitching, especially 1 through 3. What's going to happen if all of a sudden, will this take effect? Will this hamper the season? Will this be the difference? And you put an asterisk by it because you said, well, it was COVID. Do we really accept the real champion?
Not good news, but I guess if you're trying to find any bit of positive, you would say, well, it's July 6th. They're getting close to July 23rd and 24th for opening day, but that they do have, quote unquote, some time, right, to get the testing figured out. Should have already been figured out, but get it figured out some more before the season actually starts. But it's definitely problematic when it was already a shortened 3-week training camp, or spring training, I should say, or summer camp, whatever everybody wants to call it, before the start of the season. We do know tonight at 5 o'clock, the schedule will be released for Major League Baseball. So some teams haven't been on the practice, but that schedule's coming out tonight at 5 o'clock. We'll learn who the Royals are going to open up this 2020 campaign with.
It's too bad it's not playing the AOS, because A's, like I said, haven't even practiced. Here's a Major League team.
Now, granted, it's been a couple days. But, yeah, the longer this goes on, it's more problematic. Still puts some disadvantage.
Did you get the Blue Jays that have some players still in Florida, some in Toronto, because they couldn't travel? It's not good at this point. Not good at all this point.
Next up on What's Trending, the Washington Redskins and the Cleveland Indians reviewing their team nicknames. It's not a new debate or push when it comes to Washington. You know, for the last decade at least, organizations and many fans have said, yeah, this is something that needs to be changed out there in D.C. It seems like after the statement that was put out over the weekend where Dan Snyder said they will review it, yeah, you can't review it and then say, oh, nothing's wrong with it. So Washington's going to change the nickname of their team. There's odds out on who they could go with and what they could go with, right? You know, it could be the Generals or the Senators, or the Red Tails is the Vegas favorite right now.
That's the Vegas favorite.
Red Tails, 3-1 odds.
Like in Cleveland, the Cleveland Spiders.
Yeah,
the
Cleveland Indians haven't faced as much pressure once they got, you know, they got rid of the Chief Wahoo logo and the caricature there. They are self-reviewing, but the one that's potentially going to change before the start of this upcoming season is out there in D.C., but it does make you wonder.
Which is a really quick change.
If they pull it off, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're able to pull that off. And then it makes you wonder, all right, Kansas City, are they the next franchise that faces pressure to change it? I just, and maybe it is. I just view it a lot differently with the name itself than, oh, I don't know, the Cleveland Indians or the Washington Redskins. That is so much different for me. Now, within it, you know, when you're talking about the chop or the beating the drum or having war paint. And certainly anybody that's wearing headdresses, right, that should be banned from Arrowhead. Those kind of things probably need to be discussed. Those things should be discussed. But the name Chiefs, the Arrowhead, completely different level, in my opinion, than Washington and Cleveland.
I think there will be some eyes looked at it, but I don't think they'll change it. And I don't see any negative connotation with it. That's the thing. You hear words like Chiefs doesn't bring upon anything in my mind on that. Also, what's trending, Alex, it looks like the Ivy League coaches expect their 2020 college football season to be moved to the spring of 2021. A vote will come on Wednesday. This is the Ivy League. Not a lot of pros come from the Ivy League, although our good friend Ryan Fitzpatrick from the Ivy League.
That's right.
This isn't the SEC planning the move, because if they did, you could bet
everybody
the rest
is
the
at
dominoes
that point, yeah.
would fall if the SEC did this. But Ivy League coaches it'd be the only game in town because they can't see the other coaches doing this, but they might have to.
They're going to vote on this Wednesday to make a decision. I will say, though, you're right that it's not the same as the SEC announcing by any means, but the Ivy League was the first conference to cancel their basketball tournament back in March. And I'll admit, at the time, it seemed crazy. It did. I was like, what? They're canceling their whole tournament? They were right, clearly. They were ahead of everybody else. Who knows? Are they ahead of everybody else for what's going to be inevitable going forward?
Well, they might have to, because one of their flagship programs in that conference is Harvard. And Harvard said they're going to do online classes this year. So how can you play? They're going to have trouble in the spring, too, because how can you have your – how can you be doing online with everybody else but yet your football players going to be there? It's going to be interesting to see the Harvard experiment.
Next up on What's Trending, in relation to that as well, KU announcing over the holiday weekend they have suspended football voluntary workouts. They had a spike in some positive tests within the football programs. They are also self-quarantining at this time. And obviously, they're not the first program. We've seen this happen across the country. It's not going to be the last time it happens. But again, it's concerning when they had tested prior, and I think they had one positive test like a week or so or 2 weeks before that. And now it spiked, to 12 different individuals.
I guess Lawrence has had some issues. I know that Kansas was kind of looked upon this program. Hey, they're doing things the right way because they didn't have this problem. All of a sudden, by four foot, Kansas, your national champions in football. Not going to happen when you cancel the practices, Alex. You're going to have to wait on this. I know you wanted Kansas basketball to be named national champions.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to get your football national champions by default.
Not gonna happen this year. Doesn't seem like it. Lastly, on What's Trending, this happened really quickly and is exciting for those MMA fans. So Usman and Masvidal have agreed to fight in UFC 251. And that's not 2 months from now. That is this Saturday night at Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. They're going to be at Fight Island. Dana White, he's pulled it off, as it looks like so far, for about a month, right? They're going to be down there.
Fight Island is
massive, man. This is a massive fight. This is exciting.
Have you seen it?
Have
it's
I seen Fight
beach.
Island?
Yeah, it's on the
I've
beach.
I've seen photos of it, yeah.
Where the ring is. It's unbelievable. Fight Island, man. Have you sip on your pina coladas and you're out there watching fights?
Who's out there watching? There's nobody around. But Dana White can have the pina coladas. He's been there for a couple weeks just getting this thing set up. I'm excited for the fight, though.
Absolutely. This is what I want to see. Remember Masvidal won in 5 seconds?
Yes.
One of his fights? Surely this is not going to be a 5 second fight number on Fight
Island.
No,
although Usman's considerable favorite, I believe. I look like -280, even as expensive as -290 in some places. So
give me Jorge.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for value, Masvidal is the only bet you can make. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold with you. Steven Sirt as well, back from the 4th of July holiday weekend. Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp next couple of days and hanging out, having a good time. Coming up at 12:30, Lynn Worthy, Royals beat writer for the Kansas City Star, going to join us. He's been out at workouts for these first couple out at Kauffman Stadium.
They're actually working out.
There are workouts. Actually, there's some BP. Some of the videos that came out with just the hearing the crack of the bat, that was nice. I just sat there for a few minutes and just watched it. It must be nice just to experience in that.
I think we're missing it. I really miss when it's a nice day on a Saturday or a Sunday and you're missing the fresh cut grass and you're missing cold beer at the baseball stadium and hear that crack of the bat. Man, do I miss baseball season this year. It's not like I'm going to go grab a beer and go watch games at the K now anyway.
Yeah, you can sit on the patio and turn on 610 and drink a beer.
You know, baseball is one of those sports that sounds great on the radio. Like, I can't tell you how many nights I've mowed the lawn or done this listening to Denny Matthews.
I was driving around yesterday for a little bit, and we were airing one of the flashback games as well. It was good hearing Ryan LaFever on the radio. Royals Red Sox from a couple years ago.
I listen to it every night on the way back from here with the virtual Royals. And it's like everything was so normal. Like the baseball's going on, it's being played. It's like, this was our normal last year. This was our normal. This is the new normal. But it's like, do we take all this stuff for granted? Because I hear this I'm like, man, we just had baseball. We just went. I mean, it's the 4th of July. It was Joey Chestnut. It's usually baseball. It's everything else. It's like a big part of, I mean, you love sports. Serta loves sports. I love sports. It's like a big part of what we are. And a lot of people love sports, especially in Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City leads in Olympic watching and always top five. And so Kansas City watches everything. They love sports. And it's like this big piece missing from us. I'll never forget, like, the Royals when they were going to the World Series in 14 and 15. You know, the city always did these surveys. Are you happy living in Kansas City? And all this. And everybody's happy. You know, they love potholes. They love everything. Taxes, it doesn't matter. When your sports teams are doing well, you don't care about anything
else. I remember, because I wasn't in Kansas City, but I was in the surrounding area at the time. During that, you're right. Like, even crime in the area for that month of October was down. Yeah. Because everybody, the Royals excited.
You have a flat tire. Say, who cares, man? We got the Royals tonight.
Yeah, so we'll talk some Royals with Lynn Worthy coming up at 12:30. You know, we talk so much about how is the NFL and these professional leagues going to handle it, or how are they handling it? And in college has the toughest task. But what about parents out there? They've got kids playing high school sports, and specifically high school football. In Texas, they're considering flip-flopping their entire season. So football under the Friday Night Lights, maybe not in the fall, but in the spring, which is going to have a weird vibe because obviously it would just be weird logistically. But the lights wouldn't even need to be on till pretty late. You wouldn't even need it. It's light out till like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in some places. So depending on where you're going, and depending on how early the season would start. Look, Texas, if they're considering it, that's all I need to know. Right?
It's just like the SEC deciding something.
If Texas is considering a high school plan that would involve having games in the spring, that means that there's some serious consideration to do this. This would be easier to pull off, though. Way easier than college football in the spring. I don't know if you're going to have some of the star players playing whatsoever. High school football, yeah, there's signing day stuff that you got to figure out, but there's still overall more likelihood you're going to have your high school quarterback playing than Trevor Lawrence playing quarterback for Clemson if they got to play in February when the draft's 2 months from then or whatever it may be. So I could see this working better. What I think actually should happen with, you're talking about if you've got kids in high school sports, individual sports, move those to potentially even the fall and move some of them, the team sports, to the spring.
Yeah, with Texas, looking at Greg Jones, who we're going to have on later, the head coach of Liberty North, said, looks like I'm not the only one thinking we should flip-flop the season. So this means he's one of the prominent coaches in the area.
So he thinks it should happen.
Yeah, he thinks it should happen. And it's weird because I guess everything we're going to get used to. I guess everything is different. We're going to get used to the fact you can't go to games, you have cutouts or whatever when you go to the stadium. But to me, fall was always about football, and especially thinking about the NFL and college football and high school football, they just all coincided with each other. They just all happened in the fall. And I do think there's some logistical problems to this, especially the state of Texas that pumps out college football players like Pennsylvania, Ohio, California, in Florida, is because early signing days in December, second signing days there in February. So essentially, you're having college coaches, and keep in mind, I know kids going through the process now, and they may be being recruited by some schools in the MAC, and there's some teams in the Big 12 or the SEC, and I know one kid in particular got an SEC school really looking at it, but wants to see more, wants to see development, because high school kids grow so much during the summer, and you're exponentially bigger, faster, better from one season to the next in high school football. But I think you're dealing with a lot of college football players that are looking, okay, can I go to the NFL now or what? Because I think high school football players, a lot of times these coaches are on the fence. Are we going to offer him or not, or do we need to see a little bit more? That's kind of the thing. Do we need to see a little bit more how you can perform on the football field? And when you're waiting till spring, you may have to change signing day. You may have to change that to give colleges an opportunity to go watch you play, which if college football does go on in the fall, they would have plenty of time to go watch high school football, which might be better for a lot of these kids getting noticed with coaches that don't have to work on the X's and O's because they don't have to balance recruiting with coaching. But I think they miss out on a lot of opportunities. I know there's a lot of parents that are going through this, and I know a parent now going through it. Well, 1AA schools are looking at him, like North Dakota State and schools like this, but you keep waiting on that D1 offer to come through like they want to, but the coach wants to see a little more. The coaches want to see your development between your junior and senior year? Did you get bigger? Did you get faster? Did you get stronger? Are you more dominant playing football this year? And they wait on that scholarship here and there. And yes, there's college players in limbo to go to the National Football League. There's also a lot of Johnnies and Joes right here in town that are looking to go to D1, and you have schools kind of waiting to see what to do.
And how are, you know, the MLB hasn't figured out testing, right, and getting accurate results. How is that going to work for high school sports as well? Because they're going to be just as close to contact as NFL players, or, you know, are going to be in their respective sports. I know at least one of the high schools in district, I don't know if it's going to be decided at a district level, if Keisha is going to get involved, or on the Kansas side at least, and how that's all going to work. But, you know, my understanding, at least a few of the schools are, unless you show symptoms, they're not going to do any of the testing. We know how expensive the testing is. So how is that going to be approached? And just like, you're going to have competitive people involved. How are you going to make sure that some stuff is actually executed properly and some stuff's not covered up because of the financial cost that it could have to, you know, is that a cost to the individual student and their parent? You know, is that a cost to the school? Things like that. We're going to get some answers on that coming up.
Camps, going to colleges for the summer camps.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of them see the training. And let's face it, for over 500,000 people go watch high school football in this town during the fall. It's tradition. It's what little towns look forward to. They put the state championships on the water tower. High school football is what's ingrained. We just know it as Americans. Hey, it's fall. It's football time. It's when we get together and it's colder weather. And football's built for cold weather. It is built for colder temperatures. So it's interesting how we have to get used to things. But again, are you going to do this 1 year? Then all of a sudden expect them to play 3 months later in the fall. So if you put 2021 and you're playing high school football in the spring, are you expecting the same ones to turn around here in 2 months and play another full season? Or does it screw things up for years?
And they're still, again, they're still high school kids. Because that's what, it's one thing, the NBA, they're going to have, if things go well, they're going to have their season, the finals in October. And then a week later, free agency begins. And then preseason basketball and camp start up like 2 weeks after that. That's one thing to have professional athletes that are making millions of dollars do that. It's another when you're talking about just 15, 16-year-old high school kids.
And this is the NFL's future. Out here on Friday nights playing high school football, this is the pipeline of talent that comes up. And not only that, talk about some way that families, the only way their kids go to school is getting scholarships or getting paid. I mean, there's a lot of families
that can't
afford.
And that's what I'm saying when it comes to That's what I'm saying when it comes to how are you going to do the testing, where there's so much on the line, right? There's so much on the line.
Because then you're going to math class and everything else. And, I mean, are you monitoring that?
Now, the text line points out over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 913-576-7610, for Kansas City Public Schools, is that they aren't currently doing any testing for athletes. They are shutting summer practices down starting July 15th for at least 2 weeks. Then they're reassessing. A swimming program has not even been allowed to start at all. Every district's going to be a little bit different, but that's going to be something to follow. Yes, the professional and collegiate sports, but your son or daughter that's playing high school sports this upcoming fall or planning on playing this upcoming fall, are those going to happen? Are you going to have the Friday night lights this fall? And we'll talk with Greg Jones from Liberty North High School, head football coach down there, at 1 o'clock to find out how they're handling it and how he thinks this plan and idea down in Texas to potentially have football in the fall, or excuse me, in the spring instead of the fall, how he thinks that could potentially go. All right, let's get to good idea, bad idea here on Cody and Gold. So Browns tight end David Njoku demanding a trade once out of Cleveland, Serta. According to Josina Anderson, the Bears, of course, the Bears are monitoring because they like all kinds of tight ends.
It's a good idea for David Njoku, who I think is a talented player. Last year was supposed to be a big year for him, but he got injured. They went out and they signed Austin Hooper to make him the highest paid tight end in the NFL. He's not getting targets over Odell and Jarvis. There's just too much talent on that Browns team. So for him, if he's looking to get opportunity to get another contract, that's good for him. It's a terrible idea for the Bears. Bears have like seven tight ends on their roster right now.
That's what I thought. What are they doing over there?
Can they do a secret pact not to deal with Belichick?
Yeah, because
that
would
be a spot where New England Patriots would be a perfect spot. Yeah. Let's be honest, it would be a perfect spot for him.
The Patriots did draft two tight ends this year.
They did, but it's not the same.
Njoku would be ready to go right away.
He would be an upgrade. And you know Cam, with all those years with Greg Olsen, he loves him some tight ends.
Yes, he does.
Binkley, is it a good idea or a bad idea for the MLS to push back at the start of some of its MLS's back tournaments?
I don't know, man. I just saw this tweet, the LAFC, and I don't know a lot of these guys, but I guess the leading goal scorer last year can't do it. Or can't play. So I don't know, man. I have no idea. I'll actually watch. I'll sit down and watch it.
I'm going to watch. I think it was a good idea that they're pushing it back, but it's because mistakes, again, that people are going to make throughout this. They messed up. I think they would admit, if they would tell you now, they messed up by having teams allowed, like Sporting Kansas City, arrive a week before. Now, Sporting KC, fortunately, they've been at the forefront of all of this testing and stuff, but they're arriving a week before games start or so, roughly. The problem with that is if you do have an issue with multiple tests a week before the game, you got to do what they just did, which is push back some games. Sporting KC hasn't yet, but like the Colorado Rapids, who are in the group for Sporting KC, some of their games with FC Dallas, I believe it is, got pushed back. And so they messed up. They should have forced these teams to arrive there earlier. That way, if they would have had positive tests, they could have gone through the quarantine and been good to go. Now they got to push it back. That was a mistake, I think, that Major League Soccer made. But yes, it's a good idea they're pushing it back, but it was a bad idea with how they operated it.
Good idea or bad idea, Alex? And we've all seen the videos. This was 4th of July weekend. Have you ever seen the people that decide to jump maybe off the roof into the pool and land up on the patio?
Uh-huh.
I saw a nice video of a man and a woman jumping off the roof. The woman hit the roof below, flip-flopped into the pool. But is it a good idea or bad idea to be that one person at the bar that has to do something crazy or at the home party to dive into the pool from something that's not supposed to be dived from?
I'm going to go bad idea. You're not jumping off the roof. No.
But he's looking cool in front of your friends.
That is especially doesn't matter now. Maybe high school or college, you could have convinced some people.
Never let yourself on fire and jump in the pool?
Something tells me that I will never be jumping off of a roof into a pool.
Lighting yourself on fire, jumping in to be cool. Look at gold, man. Terrible. He's cool.
What can you? I want to hear from. Explain to me why that is a good idea. Why would that be a good idea?
People continue to do it.
Well, sure.
I saw the video of the guy jumping.
There's a lot
in the
of things people do
crashing
that.
Crashing through the glass.
Yeah.
I love videos like that.
Yeah. I mean,
if you go viral. Is it a good idea? I mean, you went viral.
I mean, go viral for being an idiot.
Yes.
Yeah, plenty. There's people going viral because they won't put on a damn mask. That's not how you should be going viral. Like, big congrats. You went viral. You look like an idiot.
COVID parties.
COVID parties down in Alabama. My goodness. That's a good idea. Bad idea here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll talk with Lynn Worthy, Royals beat writer for the Kansas City Star. Was this question even needed from Philip Rivers? So he sent out a tweet, and he mentioned essentially, I got a big question. I guess he raised it on NFLPA's call Friday. If a player tests positive for COVID-19 during Super Bowl week, but is asymptomatic, would he have no choice but to sit? Yeah, Philip. Why? What? Super Bowl. So the NFL is going to go through this whole process all year, testing, positive, quarantining. But it's Super Bowl week, so they're going to say, nah, all that work we did all year, it's Super Bowl week. We're going to let everybody be positive during the Super Bowl. Of course the answer is yes, Philip Rivers. He doesn't even worry about the Super Bowl anyway. Philip Rivers, even though I'm high on the Colts this year, I think they're going to win the AFC South. Philip Rivers not sniffing a Super Bowl this year, so he's not going to have to worry about this.
Don't tell anybody I have it. It'd be Philip. Don't tell anybody.
No, he'd be whining constantly,
Let's just do this.
No, of course the answer is yes. He said, but if you have two negative tests 24 hours apart, then you could be cleared. But yeah, obviously, Super Bowl or week one.
Frank Wright getting them from one of the players that's out there.
What a weird question, man. From Philip Rivers. Of course.
Philip just doesn't understand. I do like the Colts this year, though. It's one of my.
You
teams.
On the Colts?
I am on the
as
Colts
well?
Bandwagon. I always have been.
Is it more
but
about
I think
the
Philip,
Colts?
I know we laugh at Philip, but I do feel he's the best quarterback career wise. When you look at everything he's done, not to win a Super Bowl.
Is it the Colts because they added Rivers and hopefully? Oh my gosh, the wide receiver just totally escaped me all of a sudden. In Indianapolis is going to be healthy this year, and I don't know why I can't remember the wide receiver's name. That's going to drive me crazy. Is it that, or is it the Texans losing DeAndre Hopkins and continuing to have an offseason the way they did?
I just like what the Colts have done, and I really like the way
T.Y. Hilton. There we go.
Yeah, I like the way that they bulked up their offensive line, and I think this team was ready. I mean, they did win a road playoff game, then all of a sudden Andrew Luck retires. That was the one kind of cog that they needed. We did see him come in and beat the Chiefs. I mean, This is a quality football team with Chris Ballard, and I love the way that he took this offensive line that gave it the most sacks. In 17 to the fewest sacks in 19. I think they took a step back last year because they didn't have a quarterback, but I do like the direction they're going. I think that Andrew Luck thing set them back so far because I think they were getting ready for primetime with Andrew Luck. Because after all, the NFL Comeback Player of the Year when he came back that year before he retired. But I do like the Colts. I like the consistency of what they do, and I love their coaching.
I think the Colts are going to be one of the top three or four teams, potentially, if all goes well for them, in the AFC this year. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, Lynn Worthy, Royals beat writer for the Kansas City Star. He's been at Royals workouts. How are they looking? What's the latest with testing there? We get into that next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp today. Steven Soda here off of the 4th of July holiday as well. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to our random question of the day. And it's all about the brand for one golfer. Not very happy with how his brand maybe is being perceived on television. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But the Royals have begun workouts. They started that on Friday through the weekend and certainly going on today as well. And one guy that has been out there throughout it has been Lynn Worthy, Royals beat writer for the Kansas City Star. And he's kind enough to give us a little bit of time right now. Lynn, so let me just for a second here. Today, across baseball, we have seen, unlike in Kansas City, where fortunately they've been able to have access to testing and get results right away, you've seen multiple teams that haven't even been able to get results. How is the setup overall with testing from what you can tell and from hearing from those in the Royals organization been? And has there been reaction to what's been going on across baseball?
Yesterday, Whit Merrifield, I think we had asked, or somebody had asked about how the testing procedures were going. I think he mentioned the first couple days, the turnaround was taking a little bit longer as far as getting results, but it sounded like there hadn't really been an issue since then with getting results, at least not that anybody's mentioned. Matheny talked about this morning and sounded like, you know, they were working through everything pretty well. I think yesterday maybe they were, I'm not sure if it was just the testing time. It took a little bit longer because I think that may have had something to do with some of the availability, but I'm not entirely certain that that was, you know, I mean, as far as I know, the results are getting what they're supposed to be getting. Early on, it was taking a little bit longer, but so far, no sign that they've been, you know, having to change anything or not hold any sort of workouts. Obviously, they've worked out every day. So, but yeah, it's something definitely to keep an eye on because, you know, I mean, this is still early stages, but you're hearing teams aren't holding workouts because they don't have the results and they don't feel like it's safe to put guys out there.
Do you think, you know, each team is responsible for their own testing? Clearly, we've seen some teams have better access than others in terms of getting results. But if this continues for a couple days, do you envision baseball stepping in at all and you know, trying to keep a level playing field to a certain extent? Could they pause workouts for everybody until everybody is on the same page?
I mean, I guess in theory it's possible. I don't feel like that's something that baseball really wants to do. I mean, I think if you're, you know, you're already restarting things, then you're going to put everybody on hold again and then, you know, try and restart again. I don't know if that's, even if it's just a couple of days, I don't know if that's really makes a whole lot of sense for, you know, especially when we're already, this couple of weeks is going to be coming up pretty quick for them to start playing games. I mean, you know, we'll get the schedule later today. And then, I mean, it's really going to be a quick couple of weeks before you start playing games. I don't know if you really want to mess with getting guys back into the flow of things, pitchers' arms, and trying to get them built up. I mean, I don't know if that's really advisable.
Lynn, I remember something that Dayton Moore said back in the spring training 1.0 about the edge of this team. And, you know, I was talking to Alex about it with the next man up philosophy. Seems like there's a hunger in listening to Whit Merrifield about wanting to be with his baseball family. And it seems like this team is a little bit different in that aspect. Is this team built for that next man up philosophy, maybe more so than other teams would be?
I think the hunger is probably the thing. I mean, because, I mean, you look at, and without knowing all the details of their situation with the Nationals, but you look at a team that won a World Series, and now you've got multiple guys, you know, who decided not to participate this year, and, you know, and some other ones questioning. And, I mean, you know, and maybe that's just because of their individual situations, or maybe the fact that, you know, they came off of a season where they accomplished, you know, the biggest goal that you have in this game plays a factor into them being like, well, you know, maybe this year it's not such a bad thing if, you know, we don't play. Whereas you got a team like the Royals are coming off of, you know, back-to-back 100 loss seasons. You got a lot of young guys who are still trying to establish themselves as big leaguers. You got guys who, you know, probably finished last season with sour taste in their mouth because of, you know, whether it's individually or how the team went. They felt like this year with the new manager, some new guys, you know, some guys on their way up the system, they felt like this is going to be a crucial year for them to start turning things in the other direction. So, yeah, I think, you know, for them it's a big deal because they don't want to sort of turn their back on or put a halt on that or have anything to do with, you know, maybe putting the pause on what they think they've got going, as opposed to some other teams that maybe are more comfortable with where they're at and what they've already accomplished.
Obviously not having minor league baseball is going to, you know, hamper development of certain guys. But what about the Sully Matiases of the world and the Bobby Witts? Instead of going to a spring training, you know, complex out in Arizona, they're in a big league ballpark. And, you know, the veteran players around them, maybe they weren't in big league camp, but to have that those kind of players around them and to be here and see and kind of get a taste of being in a Major League Baseball stadium, how much is that going to help those guys?
I think it only helps, I mean, because of the fact that, you know, you spend time around a guy like, you know, whether it's Salvador Perez, Alex Gordon, Whit Merrifield, you know, any number of guys who have been around the big leagues for a long time and have had success, to see how they do things. Jorge Soler, who's, you know, grown into his own, especially last season, to be around those guys on a daily basis, see how they go about it, maybe learn some things from them, finer points and things that you only get from guys who've been around, being able to see it. Maybe they take a look at what you're doing and maybe give you some insight. And then also just, you know, that part of baseball, I think, is as you go up the ladder, whether it's in minor leagues or when you get to the major leagues, is that adjustment to the level of players around you and the level of play that you're at. And so if you're adjusting to that a little bit early, then I think that only helps. And then, you know, just getting familiar with that big league staff, getting familiar with the culture and the atmosphere of the big league clubhouse and getting to know some of those players so that when you come up later on, you know what's going on, you know, you don't feel like you're an outsider, you fit in. So I think it only helps.
Talking with Lynn Worthy, Royals beat writer for the Kansas City Star. What's it like even just going out there on a daily basis since Friday, I guess? I know it's obviously locked down pretty good, but just even covering it, to set the scene a little bit of what's it like at the K where it's obviously there's no fans. It's just, is it BP essentially? You're just sitting there watching?
BP, pitchers fielding practice. Well, first of all, it's hot. I can tell you that now. It's hot. we all park in the same lot. We go in. Before you get through the gate, there's a temperature check. There's, you know, the normal screening we'd have to get to the ballpark where, you know, check your bags and metal detector and all that sort of stuff. But you also have to have the mask on the whole time. Once you get into the ballpark, I mean, everybody's sort of spaced out. And, you know, there's a certain space in the ballpark that we can sort of maneuver around in, and that's it. You know, you can't go wandering around. Like, it's just literally, you know, blocked off, so you can't do that. Hmm. But yeah, on the field, I mean, there's – considering it's just that one field that you have to work with, as opposed to spring training where there's, you know, five different fields, there's still a lot going on because, you know, they'll be having guys like the home bullpen behind the right field wall is, you know, that's also a cage now. So you'll have, like, you know, there's netting up, so a guy might be throwing off of the mound to a hitter who's taking live swings, but it's all in cage so that, you know, it's, you know, they're doing live ABs, but there's also at times, you know, not today, the first couple of days you're doing live ABs, but there's times where that was going on and you had live batting practice going on the field. Today they were doing some defensive work. There were some guys taking BP. The pitchers aren't quite going as regularly as they were the first couple of days because they wanted to make sure the first 2 days that everybody did live batting practice. And then tomorrow they want to start up the inter-squad scrimmage. So the last 2 days have been a little bit different. But, yeah, there's a lot of action going on. You see a lot of coaches out there. You see, you know, players rotating in and out. You know, like today there was defense, there's batting practice, there's a little sliding station on the side too. So, I mean, they're using the space that they've got. There's a lot of players coming in and out, and the idea is, you know, guys aren't just hanging around because only a certain number of guys can be there at a certain time. And so they're there, they're getting in their work, and then they're getting out, and the next group's coming in. So, it's sort of the first day, it probably looked a little weird, but the more we're out there, the more, at least to me, it seems a little more natural. You get the rhythm of how things are going. And I think the first day of workouts, I asked Hunter Dozier if it's, you know, with all the stuff they got going on behind the scenes with the masks and the temperature checks and everything else, the procedures, and they're spaced out in the clubhouse, does it feel like baseball? He says, once you get on the field, it does still feel like baseball. It's just the other stuff they have to adjust to. And now they're a couple of days into it, so I assume that they're probably adjusting pretty well.
Lastly, Lynn, tonight, 5 o'clock, the schedule going to be released for the Royals and for all Major League Baseball. We're not used to these schedule shows for baseball. We're used to that for the NFL. But doesn't it seem like this go around, because it's only 60 games, that first 10-game stretch, people are going to analyze quite a bit. You're going to say, all right, are you lucking out maybe with the start against the Pirates and the Tigers, for example, instead of the Indians and Twins?
Well, I think the actual playing of those first 10 games or so will be really something to hone in on. I mean, when the schedule comes out, we can all look at it and make, you know, whatever assumptions we want. But, I mean, considering the changes teams have made in the offseason, then also just the fact that you had a spring training and then 3 months and another spring training, I don't know if any of us really knows what we're going to be looking at when these teams get on the field in a couple of weeks. But that first start of the season, yeah, that's going to be something to really pay attention to. And the schedule coming out, just make it feel like it's getting closer to actual baseball. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to, finding out, what the first couple of weeks of the season will look like and planning. I think we still are planning to go on the road and stuff, talk to some people about that, but I think that's still the plan. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's just I don't know if I'm putting a whole lot of stock into matchups and making predictions off of, what I think the Indians or whoever else is going to look like the first couple of games.
Come on, Lynn. We want the W and L's from you tomorrow. With the whole schedule. W and L's like NFL. WWLL. We want the whole thing, man.
Okay.
All 60.
Well, I'll get back to you on that one.
There you go. Lynn Worthy, Royals beat writer for the Kansas City Star. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
Stay cool out there.
Are
as well.
Are we going to do that tomorrow? W's and L's?
All 60, yeah. All 60 games. Got
to
go through that.
They have, three spring training games with another team?
They have the option to, right? The option to do it against either your first opponent, and you would play just 3 games before or up to 3, or your nearest big league club.
Well, that's what baseball is. It's about playing every day, and that's what spring training, because even when spring training ends, teams go play each other. Like these ballparks, they will go to the other ballpark. For instance, teams will go from, like, Kansas City used to go to Houston from time to time and play. So a lot of teams will go play in another ballpark because it's just constantly playing. That's baseball is a sport of habit. These guys are incredibly superstitious no matter what they do, and you've taken them out of the routine of what they do. I have never seen athletes more creatures of habit than Major League Baseball. When I hung around doing the Royals insider job there back in 2018, you just notice that the tape was on the same way. Everything was done the same way. Guys would rather eat or drink the same things, whether on a low, wear the same socks. I mean, there's so much superstition in baseball. And there's a lot of the unwritten rules, like the no-hitter. You don't talk to the pitcher. You don't talk to the starting pitcher on game day. The media never goes and talks to this. They talk any other time, but the days they start, it's a no-no to go talk to them because they're such creatures of habit. And I just wonder how they're adapting to the non-normal when they're used to the normal.
As Lynn was describing with Dozier, and he's saying, once you're on the field, you kind of have
that's
that.
Fine, but
dealing with the testing beforehand and but eventually you do think that'll even become a habit. Unfortunately, that is the new normal.
Playing poker with your buddies, they're the baseball players. Those little tables in between in the dugout, they sit there and they play ping pong with each other, and they eat dinner together and do crosswords. I know Keller likes them. And all this stuff, but I don't know if they're sitting there with their mask on. I mean, because nobody can go in the clubhouse. You know, the camaraderie, getting together, as Witt calls it, a family. I mean, how much of that, hey, guys, let's go grab a burger, a beer after practice. You don't have that anymore. And I think that's a big part of sports. I know it sounds silly, but even Joe Montana was with the Chiefs back in the day. He used to go to those little bars in River Falls, Bows and Mine or whatever, and buy everybody beers. I mean, it's just the thing. Let's go out and do things together, and you can't do that anymore.
Random question.
All right, let's get to the random question of the day. So I don't know if the answer to this, maybe it depends, Bink. You've got kids. I don't, sort of does it. And maybe my answer would be different if I did. I bring up the random question. It has to do with the 4th of July holiday on the weekend.
You need a girlfriend first, actually.
Ideally, that's how I would prefer it go as well. So I think if you're looking at the 4th of July holiday, right? The 4th of July holiday, fireworks, everybody I saw was tweeting about these because it seemed like there was more. Do you agree? It seemed like there was way more fireworks this weekend than we have had in years. Maybe it was because there were no city displays and everything else.
It was pent up passion. Yeah, I think people wanted to blow stuff up.
People were frustrated. Yeah. So maybe that's part of it. So it seemed like there were a ton. And it was my brother-in-law that first pointed this out, but then I saw a bunch of people on social media as well. And it was Friday night. It's 9:45 Friday night. And he was tweeting out and upset that people were still lighting fireworks because he's got two young kids and they were obviously not going to bed. They were scared of the fireworks. I'm sure plenty of people can relate to that. I can't relate to that. I kind of responded to my, and I was talking even with just other family members. I was like, yo, it's a Friday night. It's not 4th of July, correct, but it's a Friday night, 4th of July weekend, and it's 9:45. I think you're good to still be shooting off fireworks. Once 10 o'clock hits on the Friday night before 4th of July in this case, then yeah, you should probably start, you should shut it down a little bit. But is there a rule here? When is it too late? Either on the 4th, or this was pre-4th of July.
I always kind of thought it was later, like 11 o'clock or midnight. I didn't know these unwritten rules. I got into it, but I had a little fun with Josh Klingler a few years ago, because I'd go mow my lawn on those 100-degree days at 7 o'clock on a Saturday.
Ooh.
And Kling even wrote an article at 610sports.com about don't be me. Don't be Jay.
And what? You shouldn't be doing that.
Well, I know, but these unwritten rules, right? These unwritten baseball rules go to life. When should you light them or not? I don't know the correct answer. I know you're not supposed to. I never liked when someone would call me after 9. Like, I don't like phone calls after 9. And don't most sales calls, even though we don't have as many anymore, but they're still, they don't call you after 9, do they? So fireworks, I mean, 10:30.
To me, 9:45 on a Friday night of a holiday weekend was okay.
Okay, I understand. But 10:30 maybe?
You have kids, so what, 10:30?
If you had kids are out there blowing stuff up.
But yeah, assume you had 4-year-olds though.
And I did once upon a time.
Think back.
They loved it.
It was going off in my neighborhood until 2 a.m.
That's too late.
2 a.m.
2 a.m. is kind of late.
I was not happy about it.
Not only that, but you make yourself more susceptible when you're in an area that doesn't allow fireworks.
For police
if it's
to come
late
by,
night
yeah.
Now, if it's during prime time, there's no way you have time to go
and
to
that's
all the
how
houses.
It was.
But you kind of isolate yourself when you start doing them that late, unless it's legal, which some places it is.
Over on the Smitty's Garage Brew and Beer text line, 913-576-7610. It's almost 12 midnight. Doesn't get dark till after 9 anyway.
Well, here's the deal. On 4th of July, I woke up and started drinking about 8 in the morning.
Okay.
I wanted to go by the rule.
I'm not surprised.
Because you can't say you're drinking all day unless you drink all day.
Uh-huh.
So fireworks, you can shoot them. I say 10:30 or 11. I'm just a little bit different than that.
No, I mean, I agree. I thought 9:45 was crazy to be complaining about.
Yeah.
But then I was told... You're speaking as someone that doesn't have kids, and if you had kids, you'd have a different mindset.
Well, and maybe it's dogs and maybe so. Kids. And
people are, yeah.
And sometimes people just don't like the loud noises or anything. Right. I mean, I understand that. There's reasons why.
You get till 10, and then you can start complaining. Wait till 10, then start complaining.
I just shoot a lot more fireworks than I did now. I've kind of changed my ways. I used to spend a lot of money on fireworks. And sometimes you just wouldn't be done in time, you know? You just got to light everything together. You got to space them out, and sometimes we get too much stuff, and you just got to, you know, find the time to blow it up, Alex.
There you go. 4th of July. Now I know a little bit. Just wanted to get a little bit of a feel what people are saying. If I was crazy for thinking that it's okay, 9:45 Friday night, 4th of July weekend. Apparently, consensus seems to be yeah.
Did you blow anything up?
Yeah, Saturday night. We buddy's house. I was over their neighborhood.
Sure.
Everybody
on
was
the
doing.
Actual holiday.
On the actual holiday.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah,
on 4th of July. I did do that. All right, so there was some complaining over the weekend, not just about fireworks, but from a golfer in particular. Bryson DeChambeau, who has been playing fantastic golf over the last month or so, and he won...
Number one in like every category.
Yeah, he won the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Not a big tournament, but up in Detroit. Ironically enough, I was actually there last year for the Rocket Mortgage Classic, but it's not a huge event. It's not...
Tournament dropper.
Yeah, well, it's one of the only two golf events. Anytime, I've only been to like two golf tournaments, Bink, so I'm going to point it out when I can remember. It's fresh. It was from last year. Well, he got upset prior to winning. So this was Saturday. He didn't like how cameramen were following him around over at the golf course, which to me, I just don't understand that thought process whatsoever. He didn't like that as he was in the bunker that a golfer... or a cameraman for NBC Sports, continued to follow him as he was golfing.
Golf is one of the sports you have to, so note to self, he will never be on that match with Tiger and Phil because that was mic'd up, camera in your face no matter what.
Here's what he had to say.
In the mornings, I usually have four.
And that's not the right Bryson DeChambeau audio. That was him talking about the diet.
Which is fantastic, by the way,
where he was talking and actually complaining about...
The bottom line is, in golf, this is what you have to get used to. At least you don't have someone yelling, get in the hole, and all this. But, like, Tiger and Phil, when they did that thing with the Manning and Brady, they had cameras right in their face. They were mic'd up. and they were just fine. Tiger Woods has lived his whole career with cameras on him. That's just part of golf. And you don't have the camera plus all the fans yelling at you or making noise. You don't have to deal with that.
It's just ridiculous. You make money because there are eyeballs on your sport. You're right. Like, Tiger had to deal with it, sure.
They had cameras and mics right
during,
in their face.
This is during the tournament. You want to be upset, Bryson DeChambeau, that there's a camera on you when you're in your public space or your private space, I should say, or, you know, it's a Monday or Tuesday during the week. Fine. This is the middle of the golf tournament.
This is what happens when you get good,
and
too.
You're the leader of the golf tournament. It was in second place at the time that this was going on. Yeah, deal with it. It's not going to get any better for you either. Man. The cameraman wasn't right up in his face. That's the thing. It looks closer on TV. The camera was ways away. And you're following, deal with it. That's something he has to deal with. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's one of those things where he's getting the taste of what it's like to be the star. You know, Tiger Woods has had to deal with this. When you
only,
get good,
only golf,
when
man.
You become more relevant and you get good, you get more attention. That's just part of the deal. When he gets good, this is what happens. He's the biggest story in golf right now, and you're going to get that kind of attention. Tiger Woods probably wouldn't have any sympathy for him because he's been dealing with this for 20 years plus.
He is the biggest thing in golf right now, but also he hasn't won a big event. Like, I want to see how's he perform at the highest stakes in the major. Like, Brooks Koepka at least has won a couple majors.
Yeah, he's won like six tournaments, but his major's like 12th and 20th.
Yeah, he's won a crazy amount of events, but they've been like the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Right? They have
won the John Deere, which not a lot of stars.
Hasn't been the biggest tournaments out there, but Bryson DeChambeau, he needs to just relax a little bit.
Last minute.
The NBA will soon have 22 teams converge on Disney World to play out their season. Some of those teams won't have the same ability to prepare as others, though. So we've watched baseball struggling with getting their testing done all day long. The Milwaukee Bucks joined that group on Sunday when they closed down their practice facility after receiving results of coronavirus tests held on Friday.
I feel like Woj and other, now they're just like copy and paste. Change the team name, because how many of those exact same tweets did we see throughout the weekend and today, where it's like so-and-so traveling party is tested positive, they've closed that facility till the end of the week or further notice or whatever. We saw that for so many different teams, the exact same situation. And these are, you know, again, fortunately though, the reason why this is coming out now though, and the good thing is the games aren't till 29th of June. NBA is getting the positive test. They're not going to travel. Those people that had it, obviously, the others are going to be down there early enough to where they're in a better spot to actually start it potentially, just because they're unlike Major League Soccer that learned their lesson. They allowed teams to show up right before the start of the MLS is back tournament, which is a terrible name for it. They couldn't get creative with that. MLS is back.
Yeah. Well, Adam Silver seems to have a plan in place, and he's been kind of forward thinking on a lot of his things with his sport. And I think the NFL is sitting back, taking notes. And I think with the elongated training camps, 47 days out, and you don't have preseason, you have time for guys to get sick and recuperate. And I think the NFL is taking a page of what the NBA is doing here. I almost want to mute the words testing positive on my Twitter. But unfortunately, this is the world that we deal in. But if I could go with the day without seeing testing positive, it'd be a good day. But unfortunately,
I think it's going to be a while, Bink, before that's the case.
I kind of want to mute those words. Test positive.
You could. You might miss out on a lot of sports front stuff.
I know.
Might be the case. But every once in a while, yeah, you need to just check away from social media a little bit when it comes to that. Coming up next, we head into the 1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We'll have Serta's Pop Culture Corner. But what about Friday Night Lights? Will they be happening in the fall? Greg Jones, Liberty North High School football coach, joins us next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.